Well, good morning, Metropolitan. It's good to see everybody here. If you would stand, let's grab a hymn book and let's turn to page 100 and something. 137. Joy to the world.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive a King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy.
On the last,
He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations move. The glories of His righteousness, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders, wonders of His love.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone. It's good to be in the Lord's house. It's good to be in a place where that name of the Lord Jesus Christ is honored and magnified. And we're going to see how much voice the choir has left from the last two nights of singing. So please pray for them. And of course, we've had two nights of Project Nativity. One more night tonight. Instead of an evening service, we'll be having our last night of Project Nativity between 6 and 9. Please be in prayer for another great night like last night. If you haven't been through, please come and bring some folks with you.
Amen.
It's a blessing indeed. Well, as we said, it's a blessing to be here this morning. In church family, we have some visitors in our midst, so let's take a couple of minutes, welcome each other, and please get around to our visitors. Amen. As you make your way back to your seats, if you'll also turn to page 146.
Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight through all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King.
On the last,
saints before the altar bending, watching long in hope and fear, suddenly the Lord descending in His temples now appear. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King.
You may be seated. If you would please stand one more time, let's turn to 142. Let's sing the first, second, and last verse.
O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by, yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. for Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love. O morning stars together proclaim the holy birth, and praise and sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth.
On the last.
O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, thy born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings sound. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
Amen. You can be seated.
Buenos dias, Metropolitan Baptist Church. Good to be with you this morning. Amen. Please come forward for the offering this morning. As you all know, Pastor said, as Pastor mentioned earlier, there will be no evening service due to Project Nativity, which will begin at 6 p.m. Those of you that are in the puppets, we need you to be here a little bit earlier. I think everybody, right? Brother David Martin family has a new prayer letter out at the front, so please stop by and pick one up. And youth Christmas party Saturday the 21st, please bring a $10 gift exchange, no less than $10. Okay? And it doesn't have to be exactly $10. Hope Ministry meets every Friday, so please keep them in prayer. If you have any questions, get with Brother DJ. And there will be no children's church, December the 22nd, the 29th, and January the 5th. December the 22nd evening service, we will be observing the Lord's Supper, and there will be no midweek service on the week of Christmas. And the office will be closed December the 25th and January the 1st. And December the 29th, we'll be having a fifth day Sunday. Please bring two sides, and as you know, my favorite dessert, okay? So bring a lot. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Father, as always, you know that you are a mighty God. And Father God, this morning, we come to you, Lord, and ask that you speak to our hearts today. Father God, we pray that you be with our pastor. Pray that you give him the words. Lord, we want to hear from you today. Lord, we ask that this church, Father God, will always preach your word. Amen. That we can be that light in this community, that we can reach those that are lost and without Christ. And I pray for souls today, Father, if there's anyone in here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray that they not leave that way. Father, we give you the glory and we give you the praise in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, they're getting ready for the special. John, what time do you want folks to be here this evening? Be ready for prayer at 5:30. So that means everybody that has to be here in time to get stuff set up, give yourself time for that. Amen. Ms. Robin. The Fafawinas, it's a great blessing to have the Fafawinas here from Samoa. A blessing to our church, of course, sent out from Metropolitan Baptist Church to Western Samoa. And pray for them. Pray for Ms. Robin. She said she didn't know what her voice was going to be like after the last two nights. But also, they're in the States. Ms. Robin's grandmother has been struggling physically, and they'll be leaving for Amarillo in the morning. So please pray for them.
Master, Redeemer, Savior of the world, Wonderful Counselor, Bright Morning Star, Lily of the Valley, Provider and Friend, He was yesterday. He'll be tomorrow, the beginning and the end. But the angel called him Jesus, born of a virgin. Mary called him Jesus. But I call him Lord. Jehovah, Messiah, mighty God and King, Bread of Life, lasting words of love that I sing. Light in darkness, door to heaven, my home up on high, the fountain of living water that never shall run dry. But the angel called him Jesus. Born of a virgin, Mary called him Jesus, but I call him Lord. Mary called him Jesus, but
say her voice held up very good. Amen. Thank you. You can be turning to two passages of Scripture this morning. The first one is in the prophecy of Micah, chapter 5 and verse 2. The second one is in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verse 6. We preach this message concerning that place, that little town we sang of a little bit ago, Bethlehem. The title of this morning's message is Born in the House of Bread. Born in the House of Bread. Stand with me if you would in reverence to the Word of God. I'll read those two passages, two verses. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, where we read, But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting. Then we read in Matthew chapter 6 where the Holy Spirit has Matthew quote from there. And it says, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Father, we bow before you. We're asking you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And indeed, we call him Lord. We acknowledge him as our master, as our God, our creator. And Father, we bend the knee joyfully with great privilege to our Lord, to our God. And we're asking you, Father, to meet with us today. Grant your spirit in a special way, a powerful way. Please get the preacher out of the way that indeed we might see Jesus. See him in his glory. As we take note today of that place where he was born, praying for your help. Pray that you give the preacher clarity and liberty of lip to declare the exact message that you would have for us today. We're asking you, Lord, make clear the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. It's in his name and for his glory that we pray. Amen and amen. Of course, you may be seated. Well, that town we sang about a little bit ago still exists to this day. In fact, Bethlehem has been around for over 3,500 years. That's quite a long time, wouldn't you say? Amen. 3,500 years. Today, it's still not all that large. It has a population of around 25,000. 25,000. It is in what we call the West Bank and under the control of the Palestinian Authority. All that just for your information. In the West Bank and under the control of the Palestinian Authority, we hear a lot about them from time to time, many Christians, many people still visit this place, still visit that little town. They estimate, I guess it was in 2011, that over 100,000 people visited just during the Christmas season. They have somewheres in the neighborhood of 1 million tourists a year visit that little town of Bethlehem. Well, as we say, this small town does indeed receive a lot of attention this time of the year. It finds its way into many sermons. We sing about it as we did a little bit ago. But how much do you know about Bethlehem? How much do you know about this town by the name of Bethlehem? Well, first of all, we would acknowledge even from our title that the name Bethlehem means the house of bread. The house of bread. Now, as we read earlier in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, where it speaks of Bethlehem Ephratah. Bethlehem meaning the house of bread. Ephratah referring to something fruitful. A place of fruitfulness. And indeed, in the least, Bethlehem has a fruitful history. We're going to look at that as we begin the biblical history of Bethlehem. And I want to confess, I learned some things, saw some things come together even in my study for this message that just did a little worshiping back there at the end of the hallway in my office. This town lies just a shade over 6 miles from the city of Jerusalem. And as we've already said, it has a rich biblical history. First thing to take note of is that Rachel, we'll talk a little bit more about her in a moment, but Rachel died and was buried right there at Bethlehem. Well, who was Rachel? Well, she was the wife of Jacob. And shortly after, Jacob returned to Canaan. Rachel, and we guess we ought to mention that she was his favored wife. There was Leah and Rachel, and then two concubines or servants to those two ladies. But shortly after Jacob returned to Canaan, Rachel, his favored wife, died while giving birth to her second son, Benjamin. Benjamin, of course, her first son was Joseph, and her second son, Benjamin. Now, her death, as we mentioned earlier, took place near Ephrath, also known as Bethlehem. And we read about that in Genesis chapter 35. Be mindful, again, the backdrop. Jacob has spent over 20 years in now returning to Canaan. And we read in Genesis 35, beginning in verse 16. Listen to this. It says, "And they journeyed from Bethel, nearby place, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed. She had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said to her, 'Fear not, thou shalt have this son also.'" Well, she did have the son. But in all the travail of childbirth, as we go on and read, it says, "It came to pass, as her soul was then departing," for she died, "that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin." So Rachel died there just near Bethlehem. And Jacob ended up, or he buried her there at the city of Bethlehem. Now, okay, it's significant, beloved. It's significant that this woman, as we would look at her history, desperately desired to bear children. We're mindful that she had been barren, and God was pleased to give her a child, that firstborn son, Joseph. And again, as we say, it was significant that this lady, who desperately desired to have children, would die giving birth where? At Bethlehem. At Bethlehem. It cannot be. I don't believe there's coincidences. I don't believe God works things together as He sees fit. Cannot be a coincidence, but certainly, according to the wonder of God's providence, that at the time of Jesus' birth, now listen to me, at the time of Jesus' birth, the insanely jealous King Herod would have all the dear, innocent children 2 years old and under murdered. He'd have them murdered in an attempt to kill that newborn king. That the wise men, be mindful, those wise men that had traveled from the east went to Herod and told him about this king that was to be born. And they were sent to find that child. And when Herod found out that they left and didn't return to him, he found out where they went. And of course, they'd gone to Bethlehem. And let me read this. Listen to what the Holy Spirit records, still in Matthew chapter 2, but now in beginning in verse 16. Listen to this. It says, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth." He was mad. He was angry. Insanely angry. "And he sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men." Now listen to this. "Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning. Rachel, listen, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. Those words come from Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 15. That prophecy. Now the initial fulfillment of that prophecy came when Nebuchadnezzar's armies had invaded Judah. They came from Babylon and they slew thousands. They slew thousands of men, women, and children, destroying the city of Jerusalem and killing and slaughtering thousands in their wake. Wow. We see that the Holy Spirit has Matthew quote this passage, quote this prophecy concerning those children, those wee babes murdered by Herod. And the picture, get the picture as we read those verses. Let me read that again. The last portion of verse 18 says, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, a great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. Wow. Consider that, will you? Consider that. The picture is of Rachel, a heartbroken mother. A heartbroken mother raising her head from the grave. Again, symbolically, raising her head from the grave to lament the deaths of these children by the vicious King Herod in his efforts to destroy Jesus. The King. Now, is that a coincidence? I think not. Rachel died and was buried there at Bethlehem. But also, we find out from the Scriptures that Bethlehem was the home of Naomi, Ruth, and a man by the name of Boaz. Their home was in Bethlehem. The book of Ruth is a beautiful story of how a young Moabite lady married into a Jewish family. Her mother-in-law was Naomi. And in the course of their existence, their life there in Moab, both Naomi's husband and Ruth's husbands died. We find that these impoverished then widows make their journey back. They make their journey back to Naomi's hometown, her birthplace, Bethlehem. Well, there in Bethlehem, Ruth comes into favor with a wealthy landowner by the name of Boaz. He finds favor. She finds favor in Boaz's eyes. They end up marrying. But as Paul Harvey used to say, but now the rest of the story. Yes, Bethlehem was the home of Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz. But Bethlehem was also the birthplace of David. Boaz and Ruth were the great grandparents of David. Wow. Now you get an idea why I started a worship fit back there. Yes, David was born in Bethlehem. And this shepherd became the great king and leader of Israel. again. Is that a coincidence? No. It's no coincidence that God saw fit that His only begotten Son would be born in Bethlehem. Did His parents live in Bethlehem? No. No, they didn't live in... Where did they live? They lived north in Nazareth. But God, we read the scriptures that the heart of the king is in the hands of God. God moves on an emperor to impose a tax across the empire. And it sent a man by the name of Joseph with his wife Mary back to his hometown, which happened to be, Bethlehem, to pay that tax. And while there, we know the story, don't we? While there, Mary's time to deliver came. And her son was born, the only begotten Son of God, a human descendant through Mary as well, a human descendant of David that would one day, that human descendant that would one day do what? Sit upon the throne of David. The angel Gabriel told Mary about her son. We know these verses. In Luke chapter 1, verse 32, speaking of that child, he says, "And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Yes, David. David's hometown was Bethlehem. And Jesus. Jesus' birthplace would be Bethlehem. We can surely conclude that it was no accident that Mary gave birth to Jesus, the Son of God, in Bethlehem, the birthplace of who? King David. Yes. Some history. But also we need to see the significance of this place. The significance of Bethlehem. Now, then, as well as still, Bethlehem, small. It's small. As we read in our verse, small among the thousands of Judah. Yes, it's a small place, but it's a place that has become famous. It's become famous. We've mentioned some people and events that took place there, but the greatest event, and the one for which it will be forever famous. Bethlehem will be forever known because of a child that was born there. A child that would be born there. Size, Bethlehem was small. But in importance, Bethlehem was great. God the Father did not see fit to have His Son born in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. He didn't have Him born in Jerusalem, the city from which He, Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, will one day rule from. You would think, well, that would be the natural place. No. No. Didn't have Him born in Jerusalem. He didn't see fit to have Him born in Rome, the capital of the empire. No. He chose to have His Son born in Bethlehem. Now be mindful, at the time of Jesus' birth, it was a rather insignificant town. A small town. On top of that, as we know from Luke chapter 2 and verse 7, that there in Bethlehem. He wasn't born in a fancy hotel or a great home, but he was born in a stable in Jerusalem. in Bethlehem. Well, Bethlehem. Bethlehem would be the birthplace, as we've seen in our passage, of the future ruler of Israel. The future ruler of Israel. Now, it was prophesied that a ruler would come out of Bethlehem. Micah, we read in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that he shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. Matthew echoes that in chapter 2 and verse 6, that he, speaking of this one, shall rule my people Israel. Well, was Micah talking about David? No, that's impossible. It's impossible Michael be talking about David. David had been born, he had lived, he had reigned and died more than 200 years before Micah made this prophecy. Micah spoke before Micah spoke those words concerning Bethlehem. No, Micah is talking about another great leader that was yet to come on the scene. It was prophesied that a ruler would come out of Bethlehem. It was proclaimed that this ruler is eternal. Did you pick that up from Micah? In Micah, speaking of him, it says, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. This one, interesting, who was to come on the scene, had been of old, of everlasting. Micah's emphasizing that this promised ruler that was yet to come had been from old, from everlasting. Now he uses two words there to emphasize it. To emphasize what he's saying. To speak of the... hopefully this is okay to say it this way, the antiquity of this one. In fact, the word everlasting in our Bible, in the Hebrew text, it's actually two words. It's two words, get this, speaking of the days of eternity. Huh? This one would be of old. The days of eternity. What's he talking? This coming ruler is eternal. Is eternal. There's only one person. There is only one, capital O, that this could possibly refer to. John will talk about him. The Apostle John will talk about him and write about him. In John chapter 1, verse 1, notice how John words, it says, in the beginning. Of old, from everlasting. In the beginning was the Word, capital W. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the 14th verse of that same chapter, John writes this. He says, and the Word was made flesh. We'll look a little bit more about that in a few moments. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We go a few chapters ahead in John. And what do we read in chapter 3? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What we read here, doesn't that shine even greater light on Isaiah's prophecy of this person, of the same one that would come and be ruler, to be ruler in Israel, of Israel. You're familiar with Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Listen to this. You know what I'm going to read. For unto us, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Notice, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord's house will perform this. Yes. Yes. Wow. This one who come unto him shall be ruler in Israel. Yes. Well, thirdly, as we bring this a little bit together, Bethlehem was the birthplace, going to our title for this morning's message, of the bread of life. Bethlehem, the house of bread, was the birthplace of the bread of life. The Gospel of John, chapter 6 and verse 35 says this, Jesus speaking, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Who can say that God's workings are not amazing? That's amazing. What an amazing book. It's been recorded for us. It's amazing how God worked in history past, weaving Bethlehem into the lives of people that create a vivid backdrop to the birth of His Son, God's Son. Is it not amazing that God's Word, the Bible, records the prophecies concerning Jesus Christ, but also their fulfillment. Their fulfillment with astounding precision. This little town, called the House of Bread, would become the birthplace, as we've read, the bread of life. At Bethlehem, beloved, at Bethlehem, the life-giving bread. Now, what do we mean? What did Jesus mean? He said, you received Him, that bread that you'll never hunger. What could it possibly mean? He wasn't talking about physical hunger. He wasn't speaking of a physical thirst. He was talking of that hunger and that thirst that transcends the physical, transcends the temporal to the eternal, transcends the fleshly to the physical. And that as we, you and I, that receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, you and I that have put our faith, our trust in this one, the Son of God, the bread of life,
amen,
shall no longer hunger spiritually. Our soul will no longer hunger. Our spiritual thirst will no longer need satisfaction for the complete, total, beautiful satisfaction that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. That person, huh? Any person that believes, putting their faith in that one, the bread of life, shall never long again for their soul to be satisfied. Wow. God was pleased. God was pleased to give us Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Where? At Bethlehem. Hopefully when we sing that little town of Bethlehem, we'll think of it a little bit differently. He was born at Bethlehem, the house of bread. And as I studied this week for this message and reading these passages and all that comes together with it, it grieves me. It grieves me that this world is so spiritually blind. Misses that real message. And I know this, as we've been putting on Project Nativity this week, it's our prayer, it's our desire to get past all that and to receive that true message of what Jesus Christ came to do. What it's really all about. What His birth really means for us. The world focuses on that baby in the manger. Oh yes. And we understand, the Son of God came as a infant, a baby. Yes. A baby conceived and born through the womb of Mary. What a miracle. But that was not, listen to me, that was not the beginning, as we've seen, of the Son of God. It was not His beginning. We close this message looking at a passage that makes clear that Christ Jesus was fully involved. Now get this. He was fully involved with His own incarnation. His own becoming flesh. Well, look, and if you want to, please turn to Philippians chapter 2. And as I look at this passage, over the years it struck me that this is the birth of Christ, His incarnation, looking at it from heaven's perspective. Listen to how the Apostle Paul describes the coming of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, picking up there in verse 6, where it says, "Who," speaking of Jesus, "who being in the form of God," the idea of that word form to be the very character, essence, "who being in the very form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Well, what in the world could that phrase mean? "Thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Well, the idea of those words is something, they have the idea of snatching, holding something to yourself. Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, the Son of God, did not see His glory in heaven as something that He had to hold on to, that He had to clutch to Himself. No, He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made, notice the words, and was made in the likeness of man. You got to look at those two phrases together. It says He took upon Him the form of a servant. Was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man. What? He took upon Himself a body of flesh and blood.
That's right.
Took upon Himself a body of flesh and blood. Became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. Puts me in mind of that. That song, I believe we sang it sometime, the choir or some, it was sung. I heard it somewhere last week. Song by Ron Hamilton. It's called "Born to Die." the purpose of His leaving heaven, leaving glory, and taking on that form of a servant, becoming flesh and blood like you and I, was to identify with us and to lay down His life as a sacrifice for our sin. To sacrifice for our sin. Beloved, it was the Godhead's plan. When we say that, what do we mean? The Godhead, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It was the Godhead's plan from eternity past for Jesus. For Jesus, the Son, to take Himself, to take upon Himself a body of flesh and blood. It was God's plan for His only begotten Son to be conceived of the Holy Ghost in the womb of a virgin named Mary. It was the plan of God for Him to be born in Bethlehem. It was the plan for Him to die that horrible death, that sacrificial death on our behalf, on the cross of Calvary. Yes, He was born to die. He was born to die. But His death was not without purpose. We quoted John 3:16 earlier. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, His only born Son. When it speaks of how God gave His Son, it's speaking of how He gave Him as a sacrifice for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, that whosoever will place their faith, their trust in that only begotten Son, the verse goes on to say, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Huh? The gift of God's Son to you and I. To you and I. Jesus died for our sin so that we could be forgiven, cleansed of that sin, and receive everlasting life. That's Christmas, folks. That's what the birth of Jesus Christ is all about. And as we have seen, nothing about His birth was coincidental, including, as we looked this morning, at His birth in the little town of Bethlehem. Let's stand together. Father, we bow before You. Lord, we look at the birth of Christ with the backdrop of this place, this town. Little town that has become famous because of Your Son and His birth. Yes, others were born there, others died there. But it was Jesus. Jesus' birth that made this place famous. It is that birth that makes it the most significant location next to Mount Calvary on this earth planet. Father, I pray, oh God, I pray today, warm our hearts with these truths. Lord, I pray for anyone that might be in this auditorium today that does not know Your Son. I pray, Lord, You might be pleased, do what I can't do, Lord. Please hold Him up in all of His glory and all of His great wonder. I pray that folks that need Him today will call out to Him, Jesus, save me. Forgive me of my sin. Save me. Forgive me that I might belong to You. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory. Amen. And amen. Brother John.
Page 139.
As we sing, beloved, these altars are open. As always, the invitation is there. As the Lord would direct you, please just obey Him. What a wonderful God we have. A God of love, a God of grace, a God of mercy. God who loved us so dearly to sacrifice His Son for us. A Son that would love us so dearly to give His own life for us. If you need His salvation today, you need His forgiveness, we're here for you. Point you to Jesus. Show you what Jesus has done for you. Please obey the Lord. Join these ones as we sing.
On the night Christ was born, just before break of morn, as the stars in the sky were fading, o'er the place where He lay, full of shadow cold and gray, of the cross that would humble a king. Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sin to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary, He was wounded that I might live. Jesus knew when He came, He would suffer in shame. He could feel every pain and sorrow, but He left paradise. With His blood He paid the price. My redemption to Jesus I owe. Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sin to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary, He was wounded that I might live. From His throne Jesus came, laid aside heaven's fame, in exchange for the cross of Calvary. For my gain suffered loss, for my sin He bore the cross. He was wounded and I was set free. Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sin to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary, He was wounded that I might live.
Amen. Amen. A little town called Bethlehem. Amen. Please be mindful, there's no evening, regular evening service tonight, but we will be serving. we'll be serving as folks come once again and are part of Project Nativity. Be in prayer, and it's not too late to invite folks. And if you haven't been out, please come out this evening. It'll be great. We enjoy it. Look forward to it. Pray for the Lord's blessing. That God would be pleased to even use our humble efforts to introduce folks to this great God. Amen. Brother John.
Let's be dismissed with our chorus. O come, all ye faithful.
O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold Him, born the King of ages. O come, let us adore Him. O come.